One of the things that I believe in is that if we are Christians who are truly living as Christians, our relationships will have every opportunity to be at their very best. I don't know if you believe that, but that's a strong conviction that I have. Above all people I can think of in the world, Christians should have better relationships than any other people in any other place in the world. The gospel, as we've been saying for many moons now, is called good news. That's the meaning of the word gospel. And the fact that we can be eternally saved, that we will know we're going to heaven when we die and there is a mansion waiting for us up there, is unquestionably good news. But that's not all that the gospel is. It's just not looking forward to heaven. The gospel marinates every other part of our lives. The gospel touches upon every part of us. And the good news is, as a part of the gospel, our relationships with other people can not only be functional, I believe because of Jesus Christ, they can be optimal. I'm talking about our family relationships. Because of Christ, our marriages can and should and will be better. Because of Christ in our life, the friendships we have with other people are enriched. They're better off. Our relationships in the church is a good news place. I want to tell you, this church is. It's a good news place. And the life of Christ is shared amongst us here in this body. And there are people who are learning how to love. And they're learning how to get along and to really appreciate what it means to be in a Christian church. Even our relationships with unsaved people, with people that I call pre-Christians, because of Christ, we can learn how to relate effectively to people who don't necessarily share our faith, and maybe in some respects in the culture these days, towards people who might have maybe some measure of even hostility towards us in our faith. Listen, because of the unconditional love of God, because of Jesus Christ living His life through us, because of the transforming power of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Yes, I'm talking about the Trinity. I'm talking about the Trinity. It enriches every part of our lives. It reconciles us vertically to God. Amen. But it also reconciles us and brings us great relationships among the people of God and people in the world. And some of you are going to ask the question this morning, Pastor Rusty, how does that work? Tell me more about that. I want to learn more. And the clues, I think, are found in some of the commands that were read to us this morning. Thank you, Pastor Dennis, for reading that. Commands that we can keep, and commands I think that we are expected to keep and we ought to keep because we're empowered by the Holy Spirit to be able to keep them. How do we get these better relationships in the body of Christ, Pastor Rusty? Tell me more what you're talking about. How about letter A? We are privileged to share with people who are in need. And that's the first verse, verse 13. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Listen, as a result of our walk with Christ, we are primed. We are primed to reach out and to help other people who might be in need. It may come maybe as a surprise to some of us, but whether we're talking about this church right here, FCC, if we're talking about some other church in our town or our state or across the United States or in the world, there are always going to be, no matter where you live, there will always be fellow believers in the church who are in great need. It happens everywhere. It happens all the time. Somebody loses a job, huh? Maybe not because they were lazy. Maybe not because they were incompetent. As many of you guys know today, many companies are reorganizing and companies are downsizing, and somebody seems to be pretty secure in their career at some point along the way, and the next thing you know, they've been laid off. This is a regular occurrence in our country today. It happens all the time. It happens within the Christian church. Somebody's hospitalized, and now they can't go to work. And maybe as a result of not working, they're going to be off of work for maybe weeks or even months, and there's a house payment that needs to be made. And there are other bills that have to be paid. And there's food that needs to be placed on the table. God forbid anybody in our church would ever do it. God forbid. But sometimes a husband or even a wife takes off and they will abandon their family. And now we have a single mom and we get a single dad carrying the whole load. And it's more than they're capable of handling on their own. They need some kind of transitional care. When that happens across the body of Christ, I don't care where it happens, here or elsewhere, the Lord will prompt us to not look the other way. Did you hear what I said? The Lord will prompt us to not look the other way. We will take an interest. And in a church like ours, unquestionably, our board of deacons are probably going to get involved. And we will willingly step up to meet that need. And listen, when that happens, all of us, the whole church, everybody is blessed. We have better relationships in the church because we reach out and we touch other people who are in need. When I was a pastor in Turlock, California, one of the guys who had been in our church for years and years and years, he was just a very giving man. He had helped so many people, took ill. And he was going to be out of work for several months, we had learned. And there was a house payment, just as I mentioned, that had to be paid. Other things that had to be taken care of in his life. And listen, the church body stepped up. And there were some wonderful, generous individuals who stepped up. And that family had everything they needed to get through that crisis. Throughout the whole period of it, they had given to the church on so many occasions. They had given to so many people. Karen, this is Bob who I'm talking about. And people were now giving back to them. And listen, as they were going through that period of hurt, the whole church was blessed. All of us were blessed. We had great relationships in the church. And we could celebrate it because we were able to reach out and help somebody who was in need. These days, we hear a lot of people saying things like, I don't need the church. You ever heard that before? I don't need the church. I don't need that. I can get what I need by watching my favorite TV preacher. I can get what I need by listening to my favorite preacher online. Who needs a church? Let me tell you something. When you hit a crisis in your life, when you're at a point where your marriage is low, when you're going through a time when your kids are giving you a hard time, your parents are giving you a hard time, your favorite TV preacher is not going to be there to visit you. And he'll be still asking for money every Sunday over the airwaves too. You can be assured of that. That TV preacher, the mega church, is not going to be there for you. But listen, if you're a part of a gospel preaching church, if you're a part of a church that lives and breathes and experiences the gospel of Jesus Christ in daily life, you're going to have good news relationships. That church is going to be there for you. And I want to say it publicly, I love this church. That is what this church is all about. And I see it on a regular basis, and I praise God for you, and I celebrate you, and I'm so grateful for what God is doing in our midst here at FCC. Paul said something like this in Galatians 6:10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, but especially those who belong to the family of believers. Let me ask you a question. Are you learning? Are you learning? Have you learned? Are you learning about the remarkable quality of life that we have when we reach out and minister to hurting people? What did Jesus say? It is better to receive than to give, right? No, Jesus said it is better to give than to receive. Are you learning when you're sharing with people who are in need? It's a blessing not only to them, but it's a blessing to you. And I know the same things you do. I know the same things you do. There are some people who will take advantage of others, right? There are some people who are always looking for a handout. There are some people who aren't really planning their lives the way they should. But I want to tell you something else. I know that there are also real needs that real people have on a regular basis, all the time. And when we step up to the as the body of Christ, there's a ripple effect that happens. And all of us are blessed, aren't we? All of our relationships are blessed when we learn how to truly care and give to people who are in need. Can I just say something in passing in case you don't know it? FCC has something we call a deacon's fund. that exists to help people who are in need. Many times it's people in our own fellowship, but not always. Sometimes it's people outside of our fellowship. And we take a monthly offering. And I want you to know, we don't have unlimited funds. We don't. But in the life of our church, so many of you have been generous. And the giving to our deacon's fund in our church has never been better. It has never been better, at least since I've been here. And I want you to know something. There are people who are ministered to inside of our church and outside of our church who are absolutely wowed at what this church is able to do. Isn't that a blessing to God? Isn't that a blessing to God? And that should be a blessing to you. Keep on being generous. Keep on being the church that you are. Let's keep on learning what it means to give to people who are truly in need. And when we do that, all of us are blessed. The whole church is blessed. Now, where does the best blessings for ministry take place? I can think of several things I could say about that, but I think the next part of the verse gives us a clue. The next part of the verse says, practice what? Practice hospitality. Back in Bible days, it was not uncommon in that culture for godly people to literally open up their homes to people who were in need. This was especially true in the days of the early church when sometimes people lost everything for their faith, or their family would somehow kick them out and they had no more family anymore. It was this practice in the days of the early church that left such a powerful testimony all across the Roman Empire. They said, see how they love one another. See how they love one another. And they really loved each other in those practical ways. Without looking for a loophole in Scripture, I do believe we need to be careful at times about who we welcome into our house. I think I can say that. There are people who will take advantage of others. There are people who will abuse other people. There are people who will steal or vandalize or even worse. So I'm not saying we should throw all caution to the wind. I'm not saying that. But on the other hand, when it comes to ministry, I do believe many times it is in our homes that we're going to make the most impact. Where are people's lives really going to be changed? I'm convinced that great things happen in our homes when we open up our homes for ministry. We should do all that we can to welcome people to this place where we gather in our church building. And that's a wonderful thing. And I'm grateful that we can give towards it and be able to share towards it. But I'll tell you what, the measure of God's work in our church isn't how many people we get to come to our building. The measure of it is going to be measured in some ways by how many people get invited to people's homes when the worship service is done. The good news of Christian relationships occurs when you're willing to open your heart to a group of people. And the good news, the great news the church has experienced when we open up our homes so that people can be with us in a setting where we can let our hair down. If we have any hair left, I don't have any hair left to let down, but anyway. And people can get to know us on a personal basis. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you invited anybody into your home? When was the last time you invited anybody to your apartment? When was the last time that you had somebody over for fellowship where people could get to know you and you could get to know them? And I know how it is. I know how many of us think, because Karen and Rusty are just like you. What's one of the biggest reasons why our homes are not available for ministry? Because we think that our house isn't big enough. Or we don't think our house, more importantly, is clean enough. Amen? Sometimes we have these impossible standards when it comes to whether we're thinking we're going to open up our house or not. And we don't think we can have anybody to our house unless we have 3,000 square feet to be able to offer in a finished basement and all kinds of new furniture that people can sit on. Just being honest about it, the house has to be immaculate. Nobody can come over if there's something that's out of place, right? Just being honest with you guys about Pastor Rusty and Karen, it's good that we have people over once in a while, or our house would never get clean. And so every so often we have to have a 20, 30 minute cleanup because people are coming over. If we didn't have you guys come over once in a while, maybe our house would be dirty all the time. You know what I'm saying? But even so, whoever said your house has to be immaculate? before somebody can come over and be ministered to in your home. Where do you find that in the Bible? Practice hospitality in quotes, if your house is clean. That's not in the Bible. It just says practice hospitality. And who says you've got to spend buku bucks on food you can't afford to feed an army of people come to your house? You don't have to do that. Just make popcorn. Have people bring a bunch of stuff over and you all share it together. Keep it simple and have people bring other things to share. And all the while realizing this admonition isn't just given so you can invite your closest friends over and the people that you know and the people that you like. How about if we take a step further? You invite people that God wants you to get to know that you don't know. You invite those people to your house where you can get to know them and they can get to know you. Wow. Wow. Back in the day when Karen and I were young, and that was a long time ago, we were members of Fox Lake Baptist Church, Fox Lake, Illinois. I hadn't moved to California yet. And one of the greatest people that really set so many wonderful examples for us was Ron and Fern Dahlman. And every Sunday, almost every Sunday, they would put a roast in the oven with a couple items, and they would look for people that they could invite to their house after church, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. We were welcomed many times into their home, but they would welcome other people into their home. And what a great example they were to Karen and I. I want to ask the question, who's setting the example at FCC today? Who are the people that we're modeling after who are doing that in our church today? When I was a pastor in Kingsburg, some of our dear friends, the Jackson family, had a beautiful piece of property, a beautiful home out on the Kings River, and they began to set up their home as a place where we could have a midweek Bible study called the Lighthouse Bible Study. And as it grew, we had 80 to 120 young families would come every Wednesday night, and we'd have pizza, and we'd have lemonade, and we'd have some salads and some cookies, and we'd play volleyball and have a Bible study, and people came to know Christ in that setting. Lives were changed. Marriages and families were changed. Lives were transformed because our dear friends, the Jacksons, opened up their home to so many people. Listen, when the homes of our church families become places of ministry, that's when we become a truly good news church. And we have good news relationships as we come to open up our homes to many people. How else does our relationship with Christ positively affect our relationships? Thirdly, letter C, we're able to bless those who are hostile towards us. Wouldn't it be great if everybody who is not a Christian would somehow have this fundamental respect for us because we are? Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't it be great if pre-Christian people were nice to you all the time just because you are one? Wouldn't it be great if most people in the world today thought we Christians were just admirable people? But it's not that way these days. So how do we become good news people who have good news relationships with people who are hostile towards us? Here's what the verse says. I love this. I love it. It says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Really, Pastor Rusty? Really? Is that what the Bible really wants us to do? Jesus said something just like that in Luke chapter 6, verse 27 to 29. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on the one cheek, turn them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. And what Paul writes, and what Jesus said, Peter also writes in 1 Peter 3:9, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with what? A blessing, because to this you were called, that you may inherit a blessing. There are many other scriptures that I have put there in your notes if you want to look at it. I don't have time to read today. Are you being persecuted these days? How are you being persecuted these days? I know that in many other parts of the world, Christians are most definitely persecuted. I know that, and you do too. Maybe you're not being persecuted because no one knows you're a Christian. Maybe you're one of those Secret Service Christians I talk about periodically, going under for the Lord, don't tell anybody, shh. No. I'm mindful of what it says in 2 Timothy 3:12. Anyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ will be persecuted. And I'm not saying that we should try to irritate people. Amen? I'm not saying we should try to be difficult. I'm not trying to say that we should be obtuse people. But if in our witness people withdraw, or we have a sense that we're being marginalized, or people don't take us seriously, or you're the butt of someone's jokes, how do we deal with it? Listen, we could withdraw ourselves from the world. We could do that. We could retreat into our cloistered Christian circles. We could just avoid any contact with unbelieving people altogether, so we never have to receive any of this. But the best way for us to deal with the friction, Jesus says, is to bless them. And if somebody has it out for you, go to Starbucks and bring a hot chocolate and set it on their desk. Or if they have something that is coming up in their lives and you know that they were in a car accident or their kids are sick, ask how they're doing. Ask if you can pray for them. They may resent your Christian concern. Amen? They may resent that Christian concern and wish you just shut up. But over the course of time, if you will be faithful in blessing people, it's leaving an imprint. And there have been people, listen to me now, who have been won to a faith in Christ because the one Christian they knew and the one Christian that they resented kept on loving him. And over the course of time, it eroded the hostility. And they came to love the one and the faith that they once hated. And if some people even never changed and never let up, it is still God's will for our lives that we would bless people. Somebody cuts you off on I-94, someone cuts you off on the highway as you're going through the Beltline, don't curse at them. Pray for them. God get them. What gives us a better quality of life? Here's what gives us a better quality of life. When we just let the hostility people have, just like a duck, the water just rolls off of our backs. We have the privilege to be loving towards people who might have it out for us. How else in our relationships as disciples of Jesus are things better? I like this one. We are emotionally and spiritually invested in the people inside and outside the church. I see that in verse 15. It says, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. And so somebody buys their first home. What do? Come over and we bless it. And we pray for them. And we rejoice with them. Somebody gets engaged. Somebody gets the ring. Somebody gets married. Somebody is celebrating an anniversary. Man, you send them a card. You give them a call. The whole church just inundates them with all these blessings. Somebody gives birth to a child. Man, you got to go over. You have to kiss the kid. You have to say something. You got to bless the family. Somebody graduates from high school or college or university. Somebody gets a promotion in their career. Somebody buys a new car. Somebody gets a used car. Somebody takes a great vacation trip to Florida. It's not, how come they get one blessing after another? I don't get any. How come they get a break in life and I never get one? How come God blesses those people and I never get any blessings? Yeah. Listen to me, if you're a blessing to people, God will give you a blessing. If you're a blessing to people, you can enter into their successes. You will be blessed of God. You'll have an enriched life. And then more than that, when someone's child has died, or somebody's parents or grandparents have died, or they find out they have an illness and it's a terminal illness, you show up. You show up. You stop in. You care for them. There's an unwanted, unplanned for divorce. And that unwanted single parent is now weeping. We don't judge them. We weep with them. We cry with them. We care about what they're going through. Somebody's husband gets deployed overseas for a year. And we're all over it, aren't we, in our church? We're all over it. We stop by their home. We ask if we can pray for them, not just during the week. Hey, can I pray for you right now? And I see little circles around our church every Sunday of people praying for somebody who needs to be prayed for. Or we bring them a sack of groceries. We bring them some food. We offer to take their kids to that special event with us. And the end result of it, friends, listen, we have good news relationships. The good news of the gospel marinates all of our relationships. And this becomes an amazing place, and you can't keep people away. People don't want to stay away from a place where people are living like that in Christ. And let me give you one more way that our relationships get better. Verse 16 says, live in harmony with one another. Live in harmony with one another. Some of you know this already. Researchers are telling us that people are spending more time in front of a screen than any other time in the history of our nation. There are numerous negative health issues that come as a part of that. There are some negative relational consequences that come from that. Listen, if you're in a family, talk with your family. Teenagers, listen to me. Listen to me, teenagers. Talk to your parents. Talk to your brother and your sister. If your parents, talk to each other, husbands and wives. Talk to each other. Have that personal connection. God has created us as human beings to be in a wonderful relationship with each other. And in part, that's what the church is all about. The church is the family of God. This is God's family here. And you don't just come to the church, you're a part of the church. We are in the same family here together. And I like how Jim Dennison put it. He said, the body of Christ is not composed of cell phones, but of humans. It's good. And within the body of Christ here at our church, just like it is everywhere else, we're all different. Did you ever notice that? We're all different. No one's all the same. We may have Christ in common, and maybe that's all we have in common. Maybe we're not all Bear fans, I'm sorry to say. Maybe we're not all Badgers fans. Some of us are Ohio State fans. Ooh. And we're different. But rather than us looking all the same, where we're all singing the very same notes, God calls us in the church to sing the same song with different notes. And that's called harmony. Live in harmony. Blend in together. Blend in. Don't expect that everybody has to be just like you. Don't expect that everybody's got to think like you or have the same gifts or the same concerns that you do. We harmonize all these things in the body of Christ, and we have better relationships as a result. Blend in. Here's another way that our relationships are healthier in the body of Christ. You can hang out with anybody. You can hang out with anybody. It says here in the verse, do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Listen, because of Jesus Christ, let me say it again, because of Jesus Christ, we can hang out with anybody. We can spend time and be friends with anybody. The church is the one place in the world where socioeconomic differences should never have to matter. Somebody in the church makes six figures a year, and somebody in our church barely makes over $6 an hour. Somebody in our church here has a university degree, a master's degree, or a PhD, and somebody else in the pew has barely got a GED. There are people in our church who own a business, and there are other people in our church whose business it is to work for people who own a business. And that's good. That's good. You can hang out with anybody because we share Jesus Christ. I was speaking of our small group ministries we have in our church. And Dennis, we want to get people into our small group ministries all the time, don't we? We do. You might have a modest income. You might think that you're very modest in your lifestyle. And you get invited to the home of somebody who's got this beautiful home. And you're willing to go. And you're not characterized by jealousy. You are not characterized by envy, because you know the only reason that these people have a house like that is because God wanted them to have a house like that. And if God wants to give them a house like that, who are you to say that they shouldn't have it? And aren't you glad that they're sharing their home with you? Do you know how many times Karen and I have been blessed by people who have wonderful homes, who open up their homes for us to be able to share? And that's not a bad thing. That is a good thing. Or you have a smaller income, but you invite some people from the church over to your home or to your apartment. And somebody who is far more affluent and makes a whole lot more money than you do comes over to your home, and they never think anything of it. They're not looking down on you. No, they're not. And they're just glad to be able to share fellowship with you, because that's what we can do. That is what we're all about in the body of Christ. I've heard of situations where people who are immature believers and have been blessed to the Lord financially only make friends with people who make money like they do. It's an unfortunate thing. It should never have to be that way. And there are other people who are less fortunate, and they have a more modest income, and they're less affluent, and they are characterized by a runaway jealousy, a runaway envy, and they can't hang around with people who make more than they do. And the problem isn't that people are making more money. It's the problem who has the wrong attitude, who is making the less money. You know what makes us be able to do this kind of a thing? How is it we can relate to virtually anybody? I think of a verse like 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. Friends, listen to me. Jesus had it all. Jesus had it all. He lived in great glory. Everything was for his glory. And Philippians 2:6 tells us he did not consider his equality with God as something that he should grasp, somebody who's going to hang on to at any cost, no matter what. But instead, he emptied himself and he made himself nothing. And he took the nature of a servant. And listen, when we have been shaken, the prospects of a Jesus who would do something like that, it impacts our heart. And it impacts our thinking. And we're willing to relate to virtually anybody. 2 Corinthians 5:16 says, so from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. And we don't. We don't look at people from a worldly point of view. We look at people from a spiritual point of view. People that God loves. Galatians 2:28 is our sociological framework. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, neither male nor female, upper class or lower class, may I add, for you are what? You are all, say it, class, one in Jesus Christ. Are you finding out? Are you finding that out? Is the good news of the gospel marinating your relationships in your church, in your circle of friends, in your family and people in the world? Listen, when the gospel's doing that, you will have more people that you could love. And you'll have more people that will be able to love you. And you find out that the more that you love people and the more that you give love to people, you never run out. You never run low. God keeps giving you more and more of his love. And as you learn to give and share with more and more people, God just keeps shoveling it in. You keep shoveling it out. God keeps shoveling it in. You keep shoveling it out. You'll have all the love you need to have great relationships with people everywhere that you go. There's a section of verses I was going to talk about today, but I'm going to save it for next week, that talks about how you relate to people who have it out for you. Are there any folks you have in your life you think are ones that kind of have it out for you? That's what we're going to talk about next week. You'll have to come back for it. Has your life been a little drab lately? Oh, come on now, seriously. Has your life been a little drab lately? I know it rained yesterday, whole doggone day. Is your life a little overcast? Things a little gray? Listen to me, because of Christ. Let me say it again. Because of Christ in our lives, you can share with somebody in need, look around, find out, start ministering to other people, and all of a sudden, you know what? Your problems don't look quite so big anymore. And you have better relationships as a result. Because of Christ in your house, in your life, open up your home. Have somebody over. Order a couple pizzas. Play some card games. Learn how to play Quirkle. My wife beats me all the time in that crazy game. Let the house even be a little messy. They may want to come back if your house is a little messy. They may feel a lot more comfortable. If somebody's out to get you, bless them. Somebody's out to get you. You know, they don't like you. Bless them. Don't curse. Bless them. Own somebody else's accomplishments or victory. Let their success be yours. Live in harmony with other people. Live in harmony. Don't drown out everybody else's voice. Don't make everybody sing the notes that you're singing. Let other people sing the notes that God wants them to sing, and we'll harmonize, and we'll be a great body of Christ, and we'll have better relationships as a result. And determine that you can and that you will hang out with virtually anybody. Thank you, Jesus, for making this possible. Thank you for letting us experience it. For many of us, we have, and we are. And others here today might be just on the verge of letting all the social hang-ups go and just flat out trust you to have better relationships with other people, to really love people with the love that you have given us. Thank you that you're making this church into a good news place. It is. I see evidence of your work in our lives all the time. And I pray that it would not diminish. I pray it would not plateau. I pray that more and more of us would get excited about the relationships that are available because of Christ who's in our life. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name and all God's